Okay, tonight's shiur, since it's the last time we're meeting before Shavuot, tonight's shiur is on Shavuot. And we're going to discuss some of the essential ideas and thoughts of Shavuot, at least as seen through my own lens of understanding. Before we go forward, what I want to do is clearly dedicate this year to Shoshana Elka Bat Eti Aldina. She should have a refuah shlema b'mira v'yameinu, and that all of the tefillot of Klal Yisrael that are dedicated to her should be, mekayim. Kadosh Baruch should be mekayim them, and they should come from our hearts, from our souls, and our innermost being, that she should have a refuah shlema.
Amen.
Okay. Just by word of introduction, when we think of Shavuot, we of course think of Netinat HaTorah. Wasn't always that way. In fact, if you look in the Torah proper, there is no mention whatsoever, per se, whenever Shavuot is mentioned itself, of Netinat HaTorah at all. And not only that, Shavuot, in a very real way, is, in quotation marks, the orphaned holiday, because the date of Shavuot, unlike Sukkot and Pesach, isn't even mentioned. In other words, for example, if I say Rosh Hashanah, so you all tell me, 10th of Tishrei, the 1st of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, 10th of Tishrei, Sukkot, 15th of Tishrei, okay, Pesach, 15th of Nisan, okay, but Vav Sivan isn't found by Shavuot, right? Shavuot is the accidental holiday, in quotation marks, in that it comes out 50 days after Pesach, okay? But whenever Shavuot is mentioned per se, there's no connection between Shavuot and Vav Sivan specifically. Now, we have that connection in Parshat Yitro when we're told about the giving of the Torah. But that would have been a perfect time to say, oh, and by the way, when God's giving it, well, I want everyone to know that it's Shavuot. But that does not happen. Okay? The way the Torah looks at Shavuot is essentially an agricultural holiday, which is why the Omer is brought, and so on and so forth, at the end of the whole process. Right? That's what Sefirat HaOmer is all about. So it's an agricultural holiday, no mention, okay, on any level of Netinat HaTorah. But for us, especially in our years of exile, all right, and I would say the real emphasis on Shavuot as the time of Netinat HaTorah, I would say it's after the time of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi closes in the 4th century, okay, in the 300s, okay? And there was still a Jewish presence until about the 4th century in Palestine, what was then called Palestine. At that point, everything switches to Bavel, and it's very hard to be focused on agriculture. So what do you focus on, right? None of the mitzvot shetuliyot ba'aretz are relevant in Bavel, right? None of the mitzvot that depend upon their fulfillment of Eretz Yisrael, it happens in Bavel. And so what happens is we have a transformation of the Chag, where it goes from a agricultural holiday, it becomes a spiritually infused holiday, perhaps in some ways the most spiritually infused of all, namely the Torah. Now, there's another idea that's very different. If you look at Pesach, Pesach is symbol-filled. S-Y-M-B-O-L. Symbol-filled. Okay, there isn't anything that happens on Pesach that isn't symbolic. Okay? If you look at Sukkot, symbol-filled. Right? Whether it's the sukkah, whether it's the Arba Minim, and so on and so forth. And what is the great symbol of Shavuot from the Torah? Nothing. There's no symbol. Now perhaps that is another reason why we focus on the Torah. Because in a real sense, Nitinat HaTorah transforms Bnei Yisrael from simply Bnei Yisrael, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov's family, right? We've already become an Am, right? Who recognizes us first as being an Am? Paro, Hinei Am Bnei Yisrael, Rava Atzum Imenu, right? So we went from a family to a people with their 600,000 males, and as you might suspect, I never leave out the women, okay, which is clearly the case, okay? And that's who leaves Mitzrayim, and they leave as an Am. What have they not yet become, however? Am HaNivchar. Well, they're Klal, they're Klal, but they're not an Am HaNivchar. When do they become Am HaNivchar? Shavuot. So it's the Chag of transformation. Now, what happens is, basically, the Mekubalim, and we're not talking about, you know, the Kabbalah Institute on 92nd Street or something. Talking about authentic, you know, Mekubalim. By the way, I don't even think there is one on 92nd Street, so I can't get sued. Okay? But we're talking about real, authentic Mekubalim. So how do they look at Shavuot? They look at it as a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Chatan. Bnei Yisrael is the Kala. This is a beautiful Torah. You can easily share with your family. Okay? And what is the Tabat? What is the Harayat Mekadeshetli? The Torah. Okay? And in a very real sense, let's push the metaphor. What was the Chuppah? Har Sinai. It's sort of like, in quotation marks, marry me, babe, or I'm burying you, babe. Okay? In quotation marks. Okay? Of course, it was much more than that. But if you're looking for stark images, there's a stark image.
Okay? So Har Sinai is
the chuppah. Right? That's what it is. Okay? So we say Nasa V'Nishma, which is sort of like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting there going, Harayat Mekadeshet Li B'Tabat Zu. And then we, you know, I'm not so sure, and maybe, yeah. And, well, okay, hey, that's fine. How long can you live underneath the mountain? Okay, Nasa V'Nishma. Okay.
Next question about that.
Go for it.
Why would we say Nasa V'Nishma and not Nishma V'Nasa?
Now, that's the great, classic, wonderful, magnificent question that's asked in the Gemara in Shabbat. Okay, Daf Pei Chet. Okay, I apologize.
To do something.
Can't remember if it's Aleph or Bet. But that's the classic question. Why does it go?
If you want your child to do something, they have to hear you say it first.
Correct. So that's because you're looking at the word Nishma as hear. Okay, Nishma means to accept. Oh. Not hear. So for example, Shema Yisrael does not mean hear. Okay, like classic wife-husband interaction. Are you listening to me? Okay, whichever side of the fence you sit on. Okay? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will understand. We will do and we will move forward in our acceptance of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael therefore means really not here. I know every single sitter you ever saw translated says here. Better is understand. And that's one of the points we made when we were discussing Shema. Okay, so that gives us an introduction. And that gives us a perfectly good introduction to this idea as well. What then is Shavuot? I think of it conceptually with three words. It's the Chag Shel Kesher. It's the festival of connection. If on Pesach, as Rav Soloveitchik said so famously, man is God intoxicated, on Shavuot, we seal the deal. And we have a connection that lasts until our very moment. In fact, in some ways, will last forever. Except for one big problem. All of you have read Tanakh. Okay, all of you know that Sefer Shoftim is not our finest moment. To put it mildly, Sefer Shoftim revolves around the following cycle. Bnei Yisrael is loyal to Klal Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, to Hashem. Bnei Yisrael gets involved with Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically takes a metaphoric fly, you know, slam, you know, what do they call those things?
Fly swatter.
Fly swatter. Nails us. Then we come back and we do tshuva. And a short while later, what do? We're back to Avodah Zarah. That's Sefer Shoftim, in a nutshell. Okay? Sefer Malachim, certainly Malachim Bet. We are not at the top of our game. Otherwise, what's Eliyahu doing at Har Carmel? And all of Klal Yisrael is after the Baalim, right? So, we've had a lot of problems. Okay? A lot of growing pains. And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was more pain than gain. Alright, this is clearly the case. Along comes Hosea. And that's the Haftorah we're going to be reading this Shabbat. Most of the time, but not always. Okay? But I would say, I mean, I have a Chavrusa who is an accountant. And if I were to ask him this question, he would tell me, oh yeah, in per century, that's the kind of guy he is. Okay?
Very calculated.
Yes. But I would say 95% of the time, Hosea is read before Shavuot. Just like Parshat Bamidbar is 99.999% of the time read before Shavuot, if not always. That I can't speak to absolutely. But I did look up Hosea, and it's about 95% of the time. So there had to be something.
Hosea be the Haftarah all the time for Bar Midbar?
It's not always read, though, before Shavuot.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Now, there had to be some reason why Chazal chose Hosea, this 8th century prophet who has a pretty miserable life in many ways. There had to be some reason why he was chosen to deliver what is the greatest, one of the greatest messages I think exists in all of Tanakh, and that we're going to be studying tonight. Because, as I said to you before, Shavuot is the festival of connection, the festival of Kesher. And what happens is, the first brit that we received on Har Sinai, we all but destroyed ourselves. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu was furious with us. And between the destruction of the first and the second Beit HaMikdash, of course the second Beit HaMikdash's destruction long after Hosea, because Hosea is 8th century BCE. So it's another 700 years before the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Okay? But with Hosea comes the idea of a messianic promise. And it's not only in Hosea, but he says it in the most beautiful way, because he uses the language, again, of Erison, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once again, betrothing us as his people. And let's take a look at the Sukkim. First source, Hosea. Ve'arastik li le'olam. I will betroth you to me forever. Ve'arastik li betzedek. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, uva mishpat, and in justice, uva chesed, chesed is loving kindness, okay, uva rachamim, and in mercy, okay. So if you notice, so far we have two ve'arastiklis. The third ve'arastikli, ve'arastikli be'emunah, okay, I will betroth you to me in faith, or in a faithful fashion. And what is the end result of all of this? V'yadata et Hashem. And you will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now,
question.
Go for it.
He was just saying that Hashem is the Chasam, the Nesva is the Kala, the Chuppa is Har Sinai.
Yes.
So why don't we do a Shir HaShirim on Shavuos and on Pesach? I mean, why do we do it on Pesach and not on Shavuos?
All right. So there again, I go back to Rav Soloveitchik, who said that man has no choice except to say Shir HaShirim on Pesach, because again the phrase of the Rav is man is completely God intoxicated with love. So if man is God intoxicated with love, what is the ultimate metaphor of the love between Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people? What is the ultimate metaphor? Shir HaShirim. Okay? So that's why. Okay? It doesn't take away from the Kesher idea at all that we have here for Shavuot. But the absolute love. Okay? In fact, let's take it this way. Hopefully, everyone in this room went through a period in their relationship with, in your case, your husbands. In my case, with my wife. Hopefully, all of us went through a time where we were, quote unquote, in love. We fell in love. Okay, now it's different for every human being. But there is that time, hopefully, all of you experienced, where you felt like you weren't walking on the ground, where everything was beautiful, where if it rained, you didn't see rain, you saw flowers growing. Okay? And so on and so forth. There's obviously, as I think some of you know by now, there's actual real neurological changes that take place in the brain when you fall in love. The endorphins are just going crazy and everything is just beautiful and wonderful and it's great and it's amazing. That's Pesach. Right? That's what's going on. We're really intoxicated with this love. And then comes Shavuot, where it's a little bit more mature because, yep, we were in love, and now finally comes the chuppah, the kedushin. And then, of course, I don't have to tell any of you, what's after that? The hard work. Okay?
And children.
The hard work.
And lots of children.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. All right. So this is what we're talking about. So what we're going to be doing this evening is analyzing all of what's going on and what Hosea is saying. Okay? And you'll notice that betrothal, harayat mekudeshet li, okay, is obviously the ultimate kind of connection. And what does that mean? So let's take a look at some of our sources. All right. This is an unusual source. This is from Masechtot Ketanot, Masechet Avot de Rabbi Natan. Okay? In some ways, it's like Pirkei Avot. In some ways, it's different from Pirkei Avot. It's more of a medrash than Pirkei Avot is. And let's see what it says. Sheva midot, mishamshot, livnei kisei hakavod. There are seven midot, seven ethical characteristics, behavioral characteristics, that, so to speak, are before the kisei hakavod, God's throne. And mishamshot is like a mishamesh. They serve, they minister to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'eluhen. Chachma, okay, chachma, which basically means wisdom. And now, the four that we just saw, where? In Hosea. Tzedek, righteousness, mishpat, justice, chesed, loving kindness, and rachamim, mercy. Okay, then emet, right? Truth, v'shalom, and peace. How do you know all that's true? Shneamar. Here's our pasuk. Ve'arastik li li'olam. Now this time around, I don't have to translate it, right, guys? Because we're all good on it. Ve'arastik li li'olam. Ve'arastik li betzedek v'mishpat v'chesed v'rachami, and so forth. V'gomer. Okay. Now you ready? Here's one. This is so beautiful and said in so few words, it grabs you. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, V'yadata et Hashem. So fine, I get all these midot. I understand all these midot. Why at the end of the pasuk does it say, V'yadat et Hashem, that you will know Hashem. He says, Rabbi Meir, Elon Milamed, this comes to teach us, Shekol Adam Sheyesh Bo Kol Midot Halalu, that any human being, male or female, who has these characteristics, what will the result be? Yodea Da'ato Shomakom. They will know the true understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, they'll have the true understanding of Hashem. Now, when I say a phrase like they'll have the true understanding of Hashem, so that means on the human level, because we're talking about finitude and infinity. Okay, so I ask you a very simple question. Okay, what's one grain of sand compared to all the grains of sand on the earth? So you couldn't even tell me what mathematical number that one grain of sand represents. So that's, in a sense, the mashal between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're like that grain of sand. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness and mercy and all the things that are mentioned here in Hosea, in his kindness, allows us somehow, some way, to bridge that gap. Okay? Any of you guys here, Trekkies? Star Trek? Anyone ever watch it?
It's been a long time.
Okay. So in Star Trek, they have a warp drive. Okay? Which allows them to go anywhere in multiple galaxies, just like that. Okay? So in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a warp drive. It's called tefillah.
A warp.
W-A-R-P.
So you said a work drive. I'm like, what's
no, a warp drive. Okay, to you it sounded warped. I get it. Okay? So it gives us a warp drive. And that allows us to bridge the gap. And that allows us, as we learned when we did all of our work in tefillah, not only do we bridge the gap, but how do we refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Ata. Ata. So, as if I were to say, Eich ata margish? Hey, Habibi, how do you feel?
So it's not like third person.
It's not third person. Which is why, by the way, the Sidurim that we grew up with before we had Birnbaum, okay, blessed art thou. I mean, really?
How old English.
Right? I mean, really? But thou is like way out there. Which is why the translation of Buber's German is I and thou. In other words, there's God, there's me, and I understand the difference. But on the same level, we're saying, Baruch atah, Baruch atah. What a gift. Okay? So this is the idea. Within the limits of our finitude, we'll be able to know Hashem. Yes?
How do these seven midos fit in with the
Yud-Gimel midos? I didn't hear it well, I'm sorry.
These seven midos are different than the Yud-Gimel
midos. Yes.
So how do they interact?
Well, for one thing, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Vachan, and Erech, Abayim, Rav Chesed, Vemet, Notzer Chesed, La'afim, Yosei, Avam, Veshem, Echat, Avan, Hake. Okay, so only some of those are human qualities. Yes? Mm-hmm. And others are only God qualities. Only, right? And so therefore, these seven were selected by Rabbi Meir because these are things that we can do. Okay? Some of us can have Chachma. Okay, the longer we live in the world, we realize that number gets smaller and smaller every day. Okay, tzedek, umishpat, we can get beyond the adolescent, it's not fair, and we can actually move into righteous behavior, tzedek, right? We can do that. And we can do mishpat, we can be just, we can be fair, we can be even-handed. I mean, I can tell you this. I can't tell you that I succeeded in every case, but when I was a teacher of young children, you know, up through eighth grade, when many times they would come to me and they'd say, so-and-so, that teacher, he, she has favorites. Rabbi Ettinghoff, you don't have favorites. Everybody's your favorite. Okay, that was my attempt to have mishpat. In other words, did I have favorites in my heart? Yeah.
You're human.
Right? But did they know it?
No.
It's just like when you have multiple children, right? As we all learned from Yaakov Avinu. It's really not a good idea to have a favorite kid. Okay? Now, is it true that there's no grandchild like your first grandchild? Yeah, you're a little young. But let's be honest, yeah. Okay, and if you don't believe it, just look at your digital record of the pictures. The first one, 9 million.
Cuckoo pictures.
Okay, I mean, the truth is, with my first grandkid, if you were to put them into like one of those old-fashioned machines that spins around, I have enough pictures, it would show her in 1,000 different poses, right? Okay, and then it goes slowly, less and less and less and less. Okay, but do you let any of the kids know? No. So like the other day, one of my grandsons said to me, "Zaidi, I'm your favorite grandchild." So I said, "All of you are my favorite grandchild." So he thinks for a minute and he goes, "Yes, but I'm your booby." Okay? So he was Makabel that, okay.
Depends on the day. You know?
So that's the idea. So we can be just, we can have chesed, okay? Loving kindness, giving chasadim, and we can have rachamim. I mean, the fact that there are marriages that last more than 6 days is proof that there's rachamim. Okay? On both sides. Because if we didn't understand each other and say love is what's really important, okay, how could people stay together? Think about it. The best example I always heard was, you know, a couple is like two porcupines. Okay? They want to get closer and closer. They get too close, they sting each other. So there's closeness, there's distance, there's closeness, there's distance. That's how it is. All right, so these are, in a word, these are human qualities that we can have, that we can do. Let's go on to the Gemara. Now, did you imagine this is in the Gemara too? Talmud Bavli, Masechet Chagiga. It's a very good thing. Chagiga, of course, is one of the korbanot you bring on every one of the Shlosh Regalim. So it's a nice place to have this. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav. Rav was one of the biggest, in quotation marks, of all the Amoraim. I don't know how tall he was, but the same thing that you talk about Rav Moshe as being one of the greatest Gedolim, and Rav Moshe was about 5'1". Okay? But, yeah, because it's not the size of the man, it's the man and the size. Not the size of the person, it's the person and the size. So, was Rav Moshe a giant She'en Kamohu? Yep. So here's what it says. Ba'asara devarim nivra ha'olam. The world was created through 10 different things. B'chachma, wisdom, utvuna, understanding, ubada'at, reason, okay, ubekoach, through power, uvaga'ara, rebuke. So built into the fabric of creation is the idea of rebuke. Okay, tochecha, because I don't have to tell you, none of us do anything right all the time. Ugvura, might, tzedek, mishpat, chesed, v'rachamim. Fascinatingly, these are precisely the ones that I put into bolding, are the four ideas that are found where? Hosea. I skip down to the second to last line in this paragraph. How do you know tzedek and mishpat are part of the fabric of creation? Dichtiv, tzedek and mishpat, mechon kisecha, okay? That tzedek and mishpat are the foundation of your throne. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on his throne in his process of creating the world. What about chesed and rachamim? And then that's from Tehillim, by the way. Both these quotes are going to be from Tehillim. All right. First one is 89:15. And the next, in case you want to look it up. And the next one is, Dichtiv zechorach amecha Hashem v'chasidecha ki me'olam heima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech beseeches and asks him, remember your mercy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your loving kindness, for they have been forever. Okay? Which is not to say, notice no one says here, by the way, we deserve it. Because do we? No. We really don't. right? But like we say in Rosh Hashanah, I think Yom Kippur, excuse me, Ki Anu Amecha Ve'ata Elokeinu. So, excuse me, you married us, and you gave us an offer we couldn't refuse, and we're together forever, and right? And in fact, there's famous Gemaras where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, did I ever give you, and there's famous passages really in Tanakh, did I ever give you a writ of divorce? Did I ever say we're finished, we're done, we're over? So we're always referred to, Kal Yisrael is always referred to in the female form in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?
We're together forever.
We're together forever.
For better or worse.
For better or for worse. And as I told you before, from some of the passages I mentioned in Tanakh, sometimes it's been for the worse, unfortunately. All right, the Abarbanel, one of my great heroes. 1437 to 1508. In 1492, Ferdinand and Isabella. I know everybody wants to start singing the song about Columbus. Okay, that's very lovely. But what happens in 1492 is what? The Spanish expulsion. Ferdinand and Isabella become Ferbrenta nut jobs, and they bring on the Inquisition. They listen to Torquemada, who, it's hard to believe, was in some ways, given his lack of technology, he was just as bad, if not worse, than Hitler and Stalin, Yamach Shemam. He was just as bad. Okay, and they listened to him and they said, Jews have to go. So, what did Ferdinand and Isabella do with Abarbanel? Right? Rabbi Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, they said to him, tell you what, you don't have to go. You can stay. You can stay. And your family can stay. You don't have to convert. Everything's fine. Why? Because they were in such desperate need of a good Jewish accountant. Okay. Absolutely. He was a doctor, he's an accountant. He was the financier for the Spanish at the time. And they knew one thing. They knew one thing, that if, in fact, he left, they were in trouble financially. And how are you going to go see the New World? Through Christopher Columbus and everything else. I mean, things aren't going to work out. No Nina Pinta Santa Maria, etc. Okay. Anyway, so what does he do? He says, no way. I'm going with my people. Not only that, he paskin. Oh, by the way, what day were we kicked out in 1492? Anyone know? Tisha B'Av. He paskins because everybody is so miserable that we're going to play music on Tisha B'Av as we get onto the ships and we leave Spain, where we've been living for 1,200 years. Because the depression was so bad, as a physician, as a rabbi, etc., he'd made the determination that if we don't do something to lift the people's spirits, they're not going to make it to the boats. Exactly. Okay, so he's one of my great heroes. With that in mind, let's go down three lines. See where it says the word ya'aseh? You have the word et shemot ba'alim mepia. Okay, and then it says ya'aseh? So here we go. Ya'aseh la'kodesh baruch hu. Kodesh baruch hu did the following. Erisin Chadashim. I need you to hear this because we're always afraid to say a Brit Chadasha because obviously what that's used by certain non-Jewish groups, okay, to refer to the New Testament in quotation marks. But no, you have the Abarbanel who uses the phrase, we're going to have an Erisin Chadashim. We're going to have a new relationship. That's what va'arastically means. And that's why it's repeated three times. It's not just going to... I try to avoid it. I'm telling you the truth. I wanted to say it's a revivification of the old... No, no. Forget it. The Abarbanel, the Malbim, everybody says it's a brand new relationship. We're going to make it... Now, but guess what? It's brand new, but this one is, as they say in Brooklyn, forever. Okay? Now, the other one, in essence... was forever, but what we're looking for, the good kite, this special kind of connection that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we've always longed for, no matter how terrible we behaved, that's what's going to happen. That's what he says. Yaseh la Kodesh Baruch Hu, erisin chadashim, a new betrothal. V'ha'inyin shetashuv shechinato b'tocham, And what's going to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come back. Now, what's the famous pasuk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelling amongst us? Vasu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham. Okay? V'hanhagato v'hashgagato tadbek behem. So we're going to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to be with us on a daily ongoing basis, hanhaga, and hashgachato will be his divine providence. It will cling to us, okay, in a way that we haven't experienced for millennium. Ve'ef shar lomar. Now you ready? Here comes his brilliant analysis. Ve'ef shar lomar shezachar gimel pa'amim ve'arastik li. That the reason why ve'arastikli is mentioned three times, lirmoz al gimel habatim she'avru. This is coming to remind us in a remez, as an intimation of the three batim that we've already lost. Now I know you're going to jump out of your socks. Wait a minute, bayit shlishi, we haven't lost. So how do you go from two batei mikdash to a third? Well, what was the first altogether before we had a Beit HaMikdash? The Mishkan. And that's what he's talking about. So, Ha'echad Keneged HaMishkan. That's the first bayit. Because what does it say in the Torah? Vasuli Mikdash. And what did we come up with? I mean, it's a really great tent. Okay, it's better than anything you're going to get at Dick's Sporting Goods. Okay, and it's really beautiful and all that, but it's still a tent. It's not what we think of as a mikdash. But it's still called a mishkan. The mishkan is still called a mikdash. So, ha'echad k'negan ha'mishkan she'asa Moshe b'midbar l'hora'at sha'ah. But that was only from the get-go, momentary in nature. Okay? Ad b'ram el ha'menucha v'el ha'nachala till they came to Eretz Yisrael. To peace. It was temporary. Okay. But in the great scheme of Jewish history is momentary, right? Because it was the traveling, you know, Beit HaMikdash, so to speak. Okay, and it was only going to be that way until we had peace and we had inherited the land. Okay, Shilohaya Beit Olamim, it was impermanent. Okay, that's the best. If you want a slightly fancy word, that's the best word to use. Okay, Vahasheni. Okay, Habayit Asher Asah Shlomo, which you and I think of. It's very odd. It sends our whole brain askew to talk about the Sheni being the Bayit that Shlomo built. But it means the second after what? The Mishkan. V'hashlishi Habayit Asher Banah Zerubbabel V'chitcho Hordos Herod V'hishlimo. And he completed it. So those are the three things he's talking about. You ready? Now, here comes unadulterated brilliance. I was not making a pun, given what we're talking about in terms of the New Covenant and the betrothal. Okay, but it's truly unadulterated brilliance. Let's take a look at it. Ukeneged ha-bayit asher bana Shlomo, shelo haya, and in regards to the bayit that Shlomo built, shelo haya bo tzedek u'mishpat, chesed v'rachamim, right? That's what was missing in the first Beit HaMikdash. Ukumo shekato be'amos. That's like Amos talks about, and he screams about it. Okay. And regarding that, what does Hosea say? Hanavi amar ve'erastik li betzedek uvemishpat vechesed rachamim. Right, because that's what was missing in Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash. Meaning what? The third Beit HaMikdash, the way you and I normally count, Shehabayit Ha'atid Tzedek Yalin Bo. It's going to have Tzedek. V'rachamim Gedolim Mibnei Adam Elu V'Elu Lo Kabayit Rishon. Now, I don't blame you. If I would have said this by myself, you would have said, Rabbi, that sounds like Api Korsut. But look who's saying it. The greater Barbanel. Ukeneged Abayit Asher Bana Hordus, in regards to the second Beit HaMikdash, Shebizmano, okay, as we all know, Rabu HaTzedukim, right, the Sadducees, right, Haminim, VaApikorsim, there were, basically there was a Heinz ketchup of attitudes about what Judaism and Torah were during the second Beit HaMikdash. Why are you and I sitting here today? Because we're all Pirushim. Right? We rejected the Tzedukim, we rejected the Apikorsim, and we became Pharisees. We are Pharisaic Jews. That's what we are. And in response to all that minut, all that rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nit yazda shama emunat ha-gashamot ha-keil. And instead of all the apikarsut, what happened was we had a complete, total establishment of emunah and Hashem. How did that take place? She had zikubo, that they grabbed onto this emunah, and that's why it says, you already know this one, this is a dead giveaway, and therefore it says, ve'erastikli v'emunah. Okay, that's going to carry through to the third Beit HaMikdash. And now, the dream. And as Herzl said, okay, quite a long time ago, right, im tirtzu ein zu agata. Okay? If you dream it, and if you want it, right, the vision will be fulfilled. It's not just a story. Okay? Lefi shebayit ha'atid yityashru b'nei adam be'emunah. Because when that third and final Beit HaMikdash, we'll go with Rashi, is lowered, right, in flames of purity from Shemayim. That's what Rashi says in the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay? And somehow, don't ask me, I only, you know, it's above my pay grade, somehow it will be there in the Makom HaMikdash. Okay? I'm not sure how that's going to go down, but it will. I can tell you one thing, it's not going to happen between Abbas and Netanyahu. It's going to be some other way. Ubiyadiya ha'elokit, and there'll be godly knowledge. V'zehu, that's the beautiful idea of the final, final idea of Yadata et Hashem. Okay. So, we didn't get to the Maharal. You can get the basic ideas of the Maharal in this week's Devar Torah. Because I didn't do anything else in the Devar Torah except the Maharal. Okay, so I don't feel too bad leaving them out this evening. I'm not going to race through it. Okay, but basically, because we still have 3 minutes, the major fundamental idea of the Maharal is that it's going to be a chibur gamur. It's going to be a complete, total connection, unbreakable. It's going to be Nitzachi. In fact, the name of the Sefer that I'm quoting from is Netzach Yisrael. The permanence, the eternality of the Jewish people. And there's only one reason why we are eternal. Why are we the eternal people? Because we have an eternal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go and try to explain our existence by the laws of history. And it's a very, very short page, okay? Toynbee, who was not a great philo-Semite, said that it by the laws of history, and he was a great historian, okay? By the laws of history, the Jewish people should have been extinguished, okay? Naturally, we're not talking about Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and the Crusades and all that. We just simply should have been like all the other peoples of the Middle East. Okay, what happened with Sancheriv? What did Sancheriv do? He took everybody and put them in a different place. Once everybody was in it, in other words, no longer were there Moabim, right? Moabites, no longer were there Hittim, right? The Hitti. But he took everybody and everybody became a Cholent. As much as he tried to do that to us, we're still here. Why? Because, as I said, when I started this year, we have the Kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that's Le'olam Va'ed. Halavai Amein, this Shavuot will experience that connection that Hosea talks about as we reenact the reception of the Torah, and once again we become a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kala, we receive the Tabat, and we enter into a relationship that is infused with love, respect, dignity, and honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah and His Mitzvot. Okay, I wish you all a week early, but I wish you all a Chag Sameach.